Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike once again at May-212011.com with another study in the book of Revelation. We're now in chapter 13, verse 17. The title of this study is, No Man is Able to Buy or Sell Except He That Has the Mark of the Beast. To begin, let me read that verse, verse 17 of Revelation chapter 13. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. In our last study, we found that during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988, to when the many days of Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, and yes, even to this very day, that Satan has been being permitted to continue as God's judgment of wrath against all the Christian churches and the world. Satan began his rule in the Christian churches on May 21, 1988, and he gained complete rule over them all by September 7th, 1994, to spiritually decimate them by getting them to believe that he is the true Christ through the signs and wonders he was given to perform, his false prophets in the churches, which includes all the counterfeit pastors, teachers, evangelists, and other counterfeit Christians, as well as by God himself feeding all the Christian churches a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11. Indeed, the whole corporate Christian church, which includes all Christian churches, continues to worship Satan as if he were the true Christ, and they worship the beast, which consists of Satan as its ruling head, his demon helpers, and his counterfeit Christians. These who are of the beast have been ongoingly giving to those who did and will not depart out from their churches to follow the true Christ a completely spiritual and invisible mark on their right hand or on their forehead, to reveal just who they that have been given the mark serve and worship, namely the beast, that is Satan, who, along with his demon helpers, has been working and speaking through his counterfeit Christians in all the Christian churches to bring life to and reveal to all the image or idol of the beast that all who are still in the Christian churches have been bowing down to without even knowing it, as they all worship the image or idol of the beast by believing that the true Christ is still ruling in and working through their churches, when the truth is, he is not. No, rather, it is the counterfeit Christ, the true Antichrist, also called the man of sin, the abomination of desolation, or the beast, the devil himself, who was released from the pit, which it had been cast out of heaven to be bound in at the cross for a symbolic 1,000 years. Once this symbolic 1,000 years had ended on May 21, 1988, at the end of the spiritual church age and beginning of the spiritual great tribulation, this devil and counterfeit Christ, the true Antichrist that was prophesied to come, came by being released from that pit it had been bound in at the cross to be used of God to bring his judgment against his very own church. For the final judgment on this world had to begin at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. It, Satan, is also known as the man of sin, the abomination of desolation, the son of perdition, and the beast, the devil himself, and the dragon, who is now ruling in all the Christian churches in complete deception without them even knowing. Now, We had also learned in our previous study that you can click on to be reminded of that the mark of the beast that all those who are still in the Christian churches have been ongoingly being given ever since the church age ended, the Great Tribulation began and God's judgment came upon all the Christian churches on May 21, 1998, is not a physical or material mark of some kind, such as a computer chip, vaccine passport, physical branding, tattoo, social security number, the number 666 or nanotechnology, but it is a completely spiritual and invisible mark that can only be seen in the spiritual and invisible realm. Just as we had learned in our previous study that the seal of God that all God's true people had received on their foreheads when they were each eternally saved by the time of May 21, 2011 was completely spiritual as well. And both the mark of the beast and this seal of God were said to be given in their foreheads because their foreheads spiritually symbolized who they actually are and who they serve. Remember, the high priest had a gold plate across his forehead, and it was engraved like a seal with the writing, "Holy to Yahweh," to reveal who the high priest served and worshipped. Exodus 28:36. Likewise, we saw that the great harlot of Revelation 17 has written on her forehead, "Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth," to reveal just who she is and who she serves. She is called a mystery because up until the time of the end that we are now in, virtually no one had any idea who she was. For Yahweh had sealed those things up until the time of the end. Daniel 12, verse 4 and verse 9. But now, being in the time of the end, we know that this great harlot is the corporate Christian church, which includes all Christian churches, and she is called Babylon the Great because Satan is the king of Babylon, that is this world, and he now, finally, completely rules over her as the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, also called the man of sin, abomination of desolation, and the beast. Ever since September 7, 1994 of the Great Tribulation that ran from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. But the spiritual mark of the beast that has been ongoingly given to all those in the Christian churches, even to this very day, is said to have been given on their forehead or on their right hand. Why the right hand? Well, we had learned that the right hand represents that place of blessing, glory, honor, and salvation that comes by being in Jesus Christ. And in that, the spiritual and invisible mark of the beast is said to be placed there, not only means that all those who have been given the mark are unsaved and so worship and serve Satan, the same thing that the mark on their forehead symbolizes, but it also means that for them, the beast determines or rules over all those blessed eternal things that all those still in the Christian churches would normally have if they were truly in Jesus Christ. But they are not truly in Jesus Christ, but deceived by the devil. And so by Satan's control over them, they do and will not have all the eternal blessings that are only realized by truly being in Jesus Christ. In fact, they do and will not have all these eternal blessings because they are not eternally saved, nor will they ever be. For any possibility for eternal life ended when the many days of judgment day began on May 21, 2011. Yes, all those who did and will not depart out from their churches to follow the true Christ and escape His wrath upon all the Christian churches are being deluded to think that they are in Christ and therefore eternally saved, or at least being saved, when they are not. This is what it means that although still in the Christian churches are ongoingly being given the spiritual and invisible mark of the beast on their right hand, it means that all their spiritual and eternal blessings like honor, glory, power, majesty, and salvation is controlled by the devil who rules in their churches, which simply means they are being deceived to think that they have or will have all those wonderful and eternal things from Jesus Christ, when they actually will not. For their counterfeit Christ, the devil himself who rules over them, has been a liar and deceiver from the beginning. He is the father of lies. Woe to all you who have not departed out from all your churches. You are in deep darkness and cannot see where you are going. Yet you say in your hearts, I know where I am going, and you are a false prophet. For there are many who do agree with me. You fool, does not Holy Scripture reveal that Yahweh has always used but a few prophets to bring forth truth, while Satan has always used many to bring forth falsehood? So, follow the many in Christendom, and you are certain to remain in deep darkness. For many are called, that is all those in the churches, but few are chosen, that is these have departed out from the churches. Matthew 22:14. Rather prove me like the Bereans proved the Apostle Paul in Acts 17:11, by comparing Scripture with Scripture, spiritual things with spiritual, and letting the Holy Scriptures define their own terms. For this, you must look up every term in the Scriptures everywhere they take place, staying true to the context of your study in which the term is used. With the help of a concordance or a similar Bible software program, such as Online Bible that you can click on here to download, and read the book, The First Principles of Bible Study, that you can click on to download here as well. And be careful how you listen to the following in Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, that is unto Jesus, why speakest thou unto them? That is the people of Israel back then, the old church, who were a shadow of the people to come of Israel today, the new church, all those in the Christian churches, in parables. Why do you speak to all those in the Christian churches in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you, that is God's true people, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, that is the people still in the Christian churches today, it is not given. For whosoever has, that is God's true people, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, that is the people still in the Christian churches today, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Therefore speak I unto them, that is the people still in the Christian churches today, in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are your, that is God's true people's, eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Well, having reviewed what we had learned in our previous study, let's now begin today's study of Revelation chapter 13, verse 17. Once again, it reads, "And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." Now, the first part of this verse more literally reads, "And that no man might be able to buy or to sell." The verb translated "might be able" is in the subjunctive mood of the Greek, which normally means the action of the verb will possibly happen. Hence, we translate the verb "be able" as "might be able" in our verse. Yet, because this verb is part of what is called a purpose clause, that is, that the beast ongoingly causes all in the corporate Christian church, that is, all Christian churches, to be given a mark on their forehead or on their right hand for the purpose that no man might be able to buy or to sell, we should assume that our verb "might be able" is not a possibility at all, but an absolute certainty. And you can click on subjunctive mood to find this out. And our verse should thus be translated, "And that no man is able," not "might be able," but "no man is able for certain to buy or to sell, save that he had the mark." Our whole verse now reads, "And that no man is able to buy or to sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." In other words, it is absolutely certain that during the Great Tribulation that ran from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, and even to this very day, as the beast, that is Satan, his demons, and counterfeit Christians, is still being used after May 21, 2011, to continue bringing God's judgment against all the Christian churches, that no man has been able to buy or to sell, save he that has the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now, based on what we have learned, is the obviously symbolic or spiritual nature of Revelation chapter 13, and the entire book of Revelation for that matter, we would be either childish Christians or false prophets to declare that to buy or to sell has to do with the literal buying or selling of material goods, such as groceries or any other material items for that matter. We are dealing with symbolism and things that are spiritual in nature. In fact, in studying the Bible, never should we assume that a word, term, passage, or phrase means what it means in our everyday lives. We would normally think that to buy or to sell is an exchange of material goods of some kind for money or thing of value, but to do that would almost always lead us to a faulty interpretation when it comes to the Bible. and it is one of the major reasons why there are so many faulty interpretations out there. You just cannot come to understand the Bible as if it were just like reading another book. No, we must let the Bible define its own terms by looking up those terms, words, passages, or phrases everywhere they take place in the Bible by use of a concordance book or a concordance-like computer program such as Online Bible that, once again, you can click on to download, while in this case, looking for the symbolic or spiritual meaning to the terms to buy or to sell. To begin to understand what it means to buy or to sell, we first read in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man has found, he hides, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has, and buys that field. In this parable, the treasure hid in a field is Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, or we could say the gospel of salvation. It is by and through Him alone that one is eternally saved into the kingdom of heaven. So, once the man in the parable found this good treasure, he hid it probably to keep others from immediately stealing it from him and to emphasize how great a value his treasure actually was. In fact, we know that this man's treasure was infinitely more valuable than anything else in the entire world. But then, we are told that the man, for joy thereof, goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Can you see how this parable is all portraying what happened to an individual when he or she became eternally saved through Jesus Christ before any possibility for salvation had come to an end on May 21, 2011? Indeed, when one had found salvation through the Word of God, Jesus Christ, or the Gospel, more accurately, when God had brought one to salvation through the hearing of the word, Jesus Christ, or the gospel of salvation, that person spiritually died to this world and everything in it, which is pictured in that the man in the parable sells all that he has, having been crucified with Christ, to follow him with a new heart or soul that had also been risen from the dead to new life in Christ, which is pictured in that the man in the parable buys that hidden treasure, the gospel of salvation, Jesus Christ. Yes, the parable speaks of it as buying that field in which is hidden Jesus Christ, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, or the gospel of salvation. That field in the Bible symbolizes this world. For example, Jesus says in his explanation to the disciples of the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, 38, the field, he says, is the world. Thus, the parable of the treasure hid in a field is all about the Word of God, Jesus Christ, or the gospel of salvation, hid in the world, which it had indeed been hidden throughout history to all but a few, the elect or chosen. But when God saved a particular individual, that person was miraculously and spiritually crucified with Christ and then risen to a new life with a new resurrected spirit or soul, and the Word of God, Jesus Christ, or the gospel of salvation, all one and the same, was then no longer hid to that individual that had been miraculously saved. And this whole process of becoming saved is spoken of in our parable with the terminology of to sell, or to buy, or buying and selling. For the man in the parable is said to have sold all that he had. A picture of us having spiritually been crucified with Christ to everything in this world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. 1 John 2, verse 16. And then he bought the gospel of salvation, Jesus Christ, or the Word of God. A picture of this man receiving the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the gospel of salvation unto eternal life. As another example, we read in Matthew chapter 13, verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. In this parable of a merchant man, the pearl of great price can be shown to be Jesus Christ, the Word of God or gospel of salvation. So, when this particular merchant man who represents an unsaved person found Jesus Christ, the Word of God or gospel, he is said to have sold all that he had, and he bought Jesus Christ, the Word of God or gospel. Not that these things could ever be literally bought, because they cannot, for salvation is a gift of God only. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. But as in the parable of the hidden treasure, this language of a man who sold all that he had and bought the one pearl of great price, or in the previous parable, a man who selleth all that he has and buys that treasure hidden in a field, are just figures of speech of those people becoming saved through the Word of God, Jesus Christ, or the gospel of salvation. For the gospel is the Word of God, and the Word of God is Jesus Christ. We further see that this whole notion of buying or to buy being used as a picture of becoming eternally saved through the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the gospel of salvation, in the language of Isaiah 55, where we read in verse 1, "Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." First off, when this verse says, "Everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters," these waters are obviously not just literal waters, but spiritual waters. That is, they are the waters of salvation, the gospel, Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. And when it says, "Come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Once again, the wine and milk that everyone is exhorted to buy obviously does not refer to just literal wine and milk, but spiritual wine and milk, which, as the waters, once again, refer to the gospel, the Word of God, Jesus Christ. And in that everyone is exhorted to buy this wine and milk without money and without price means it is all a gift, just as salvation through the Word of God, the gospel, Jesus Christ, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9. So we see, once again, that when we compare Scripture with Scripture while looking for the spiritual meaning, to buy or buying has to do with coming to salvation through Jesus Christ, the gospel or the Word of God. All three are one and the same. But so too, as we already saw in the treasure hidden in the field and the merchant man seeking goodly pearls, parables to sell or selling has to do with an individual becoming eternally saved through Jesus Christ, the gospel or word of God. We can even see this in Isaiah 55, verse 1, that we just previously read and discussed. What I mean is that although we do not see the verb sell or selling in the verse of Isaiah 55, verse 1, but only the term buy, nevertheless, to get everyone to buy, someone had to have been exhorting them to buy. This, of course, would have been the seller. So we must ask, who is the seller that says in Isaiah 55, verse 1, "Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Why, the seller is Isaiah, of course, who said these things as God had given him utterance. Therefore, it is Isaiah who is the seller. We might call him the merchant man and prophet that is selling everyone that spiritually thirsts to come buy wine and milk without money and without price. That is to come to receive the gospel of salvation, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, without money and without price. It is a free gift of God. Therefore, we see what it means to buy or to sell spiritually. It is the bringing and receiving of the Word of God, the Gospel, or Jesus Christ. And now that we know this, let's briefly consider one more parable, the parable of the 10 virgins, to help prove that buying and selling is just what we have learned it is, namely, the bringing and receiving of the Word of God, Jesus Christ, or the Gospel of salvation. All three are one and the same. We read in Matthew 25, verse 1 through verse 12, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom comes. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not.'" Without now getting into all the details of this parable, the point to be made here with respect to our study today is, notice that the 5 wise virgins who represent those who are true believers in Jesus Christ took oil for their lamps when at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom comes. Go ye out to meet him." On the other hand, the 5 foolish virgins, who represent all the counterfeit believers, took no oil with them. The bridegroom, of course, represents Jesus Christ, and the oil represents the Holy Spirit. So when the call went out that Christ comes, go ye out to meet him, which it did, by the way, on May 21, 2011, we are being taught that the true believers took the Holy Spirit, that is the oil for their lamps, with them, which means they were truly saved. For if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, that is the Holy Spirit, he is none of his, Romans 8, verse 9. But the counterfeit believers took no oil for their lamps because they had never truly become saved. They were not one of Christ's, although on the exterior they looked just like virgins. That is, like true believers cleansed of all sin and so innocent. As they led moral lives, claimed Jesus as their Savior, prayed to him, went to a Christian church, asked Jesus into their lives and hearts, said the sinner's prayer, came upon the altar call, professed the name of Jesus, believed in him, called on him for salvation, and even went forward on the altar call pronounced by Billy Graham himself, along with thousands of others. But nevertheless, they all lacked one thing. They never had received the Holy Spirit, who alone could give them a new heart or soul with supernatural power to overcome all sin from within and to truly save them. No, they had never truly been supernaturally born from above. Thus, in this parable, it is only the true believers who had the Holy Spirit that had truly been saved through Jesus Christ, the Word of God or the Gospel. But now, notice that those who had the oil for their lamps, that is, they had the Holy Spirit and so were truly saved, when they were asked by those who had no oil to share their oil with them, they said, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." Clearly, those who sell the oil are one and the same as those who bring forth the gospel, Jesus Christ, or the Word of God, which could truly save people through the hearing of it, as the Father imparted to them the oil, the Holy Spirit of salvation. And to go buy the oil for themselves meant to go receive the Word of God, Jesus Christ, or the Gospel, unto true salvation, in which they would be imparted the oil, the Holy Spirit of salvation. The language of selling or buying, then, is exactly what we had previously learned that it was. Namely, it is the bringing or receiving of the Word of God, the Gospel, or Jesus Christ. All three, the Word of God, the Gospel, or Jesus Christ, are one and the same. To sell or to buy, therefore, has nothing to do with selling or buying of material goods of any kind. And although the terminology in our parable is that of selling or buying, it did not cost anything. But it was, as Isaiah said in verse 1, chapter 55, "Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price." And finally, without getting into all the details, this parable of the 10 virgins next says, in verse 10 through 12, "And while they," that is the five foolish virgins who had no oil or true salvation, "went to buy," that is to find true salvation, "the bridegroom came, and they that were ready," that is the five wise virgins who had the oil or true salvation, "went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." That is, the door of salvation was shut. and we know that took place on May 21, 2011. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." So, according to this parable, the door was shut, and we know that the door is Jesus Christ. For we read in John chapter 10, verse 9, "I, that is Jesus, am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." And for that door to be shut obviously must mean that eternal salvation is no longer possible. This is what happened on May 21, 2011. The five wise virgins in our parable, which are God's true people who have the oil, that is the Holy Spirit, spiritually went into the marriage with Christ, and the door to salvation was shut forevermore. No one else will ever again be eternally saved. And now, after the door was shut on May 21, 2011, the five foolish virgins, that is all the Christians who do not have oil, that is, they do not have true eternal salvation through the Holy Spirit, are saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us," as they deep down seek for salvation but do not receive it. It is too late. Jesus is saying to them all, "I know you not." And what great sadness that brings upon us who do have the Holy Spirit, that is the oil, and are saved, as we see our loved ones and family, knowing there is no longer any eternal hope for them. Oh Lord, God Almighty and Creator of all things, holy and all wise, help each of us, your elect, for no reason to do with us, because many of our loved ones can no longer be saved. Nevertheless, pour out, since not your eternal blessings to them, your many earthly and temporal blessings for them instead. And give us peace and rest in your plan for all things, that we accept all the truths from your word, no matter what the cost, and endure to the end by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us through Jesus Christ. So be it. Now, let's return to our verse in Revelation 13, verse 17, the original verse of this study. It states, "And that no man is able to buy or to sell, save," that word "save" is better translated, "except he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." We previously learned that to buy is to receive the word of God, the gospel, or Jesus Christ. Either one of these three, since the word of God, the gospel, or Jesus Christ are all one and the same. We also learned that to sell is to send forth or bring the word of God, the gospel, or Jesus Christ to others that they might receive it. And we must remember that the context is that of the corporate Christian church, which includes all Christian churches. In particular, during the last 17 years of the 23-year Great Tribulation, which are from September 7th, 1994, to May 21, 2011, when Satan had complete rule over all the Christian churches, and even to this very day. For although Satan was deposed when the many days of Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, God has allowed him to continue until the end to continue bringing his judgment against his own church and the world. Therefore, when our verse says that no man is able to buy or to sell, it means that no man is able to buy or to sell in the Christian churches, which, when all is said and considered, must mean the following. No man in the Christian churches is able to receive or believe in, that is, buy the perfect counterfeit Word of God, counterfeit Gospels, or counterfeit Christ, now in any Christian church. Nor is he able to bring forth or proclaim, that is, sell his own understanding of the Word of God, the Gospel, or Jesus Christ in any Christian church, except he has the mark of the beast. So the only ones that have not been able to sell or to buy, that is, the only ones that have not been able to receive or to believe in the counterfeit Christ now in all the Christian churches, nor declare the truths of God's Word in the Christian churches, especially those truths meant for God's people in these days, are the true people of God themselves. Yes, his very own elect. Think about it. If any of us were to go into any of the Christian churches today and boldly declare the truths of God's Word for these latter days, namely to say to them that God's wrath is upon your church, and so ever since May 21, 1988, salvation has been no longer possible in or through your church, for God has removed the Holy Spirit of salvation from your midst. So, you can preach the gospel all you want, but the Spirit will never use it to truly save anyone. It is now Satan, the almost perfect counterfeit Holy Spirit, that is in your church and bringing about almost perfect counterfeit salvations and doing all the so-called miracles in your church, if there be any, to deceive God's elect, who are outside your church, if that were possible. And Satan, the counterfeit Christ, the true Antichrist, also called the man of sin, already came, and he, or at least one of his demons, is now seated in and ruling in your church through your pastors, teachers, evangelists, elders, deacons, and other counterfeit Christians, which are all you who did or will not depart out from your church to follow Christ. Yes, the abomination of desolation is now ruling your church so that you must depart out to escape God's wrath on it. The church age ended on May 21, 1988, when salvation came to an end in your church and the Holy Spirit departed out. Also, the many days of judgment day began on May 21, 2011, with no more salvation possible for anyone anywhere ever since then. The end of all things is at hand. Can you imagine what that church would do to us if we so began to boldly declare or teach, that is, sell such truths from the Word of God within their church? That's right, we would be silenced, that is, spiritually killed by them as quickly as possible and hailed as false prophets and deceived ones. We would never be allowed to bring such truths from the Word of God in any church today. Furthermore, we would never receive or accept, that is, by their understanding of the Word of God, their counterfeit Jesus, their counterfeit gospel for these days. Indeed, we know they have changed the times and seasons for things and have very little understanding what is really taking place in these latter days of the last days, because God is feeding them a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. For his final judgment on this world had to have begun with them. For judgment had to begin at the house of God, their church. 1 Peter 4, verse 17. Anyway, that is all what it means that no man is able to buy or to sell except he that has the mark. It means that only those who have been being given the spiritual and invisible mark of the beast, which must now be all or virtually all those in the Christian churches, are able to declare, that is to sell, or to receive, that is to buy, their counterfeit understandings of the Word of God, their counterfeit gospels, or their counterfeit Christs. On the other hand, those who have not been being given the mark of the beast, but have the seal of God on their forehead, they are not able to declare, that is to sell or receive, that is to buy their true understanding of the Word of God, nor their true gospel, nor their true Christ in any of the Christian churches during the last 17 years of the Great Tribulation from September 7, 1994 to May 21, 2011, and even to this very day, for reasons already stated in this study. Now, we will finish up on our verse of study, Revelation chapter 13, verse 17, in our next study. Until then, may Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.